You might want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. I'll make reference to a few verses before that, but that would be a good place for you to start. As we consider the topic, the brotherhood, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the body of Christ, this spiritual family, and each one who is part of it. Help us to understand something a little bit more about the bond we have together in Christ as we study this morning. I ask for your help, and I pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is a Mother's Day, and there is a Father's Day, and there is a Children's Day. There will be a Sister's Day over in August. Did you know that there is a National Brother's Day? It was actually this past Friday, May 24th, National Brother's Day. In the description of the day, one article said, "Celebrate your brotherhood on May 24th. Brothers often do not make the best of friends, as Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 says, "A brother is born for adversity." We sometimes call that sibling rivalry. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 says, "There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Yet the term brother in biblical times adopted a very special usage. It refers to the kinship felt by those who are not biologically related but have similar characteristics or some common interest. Now, this can be negative. As Proverbs 18, verse 9 says, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." But in a positive sense, we are called brothers in Christ. And Paul referred to Timotheus, who he also called his son. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, he calls Timothy our brother. From Romans to Jude, and all the letters that are written for and to the church, the word brother is used 133 times. Brethren, or brother, or brotherhood. All of us. And this includes both men and women, and boys and girls, are part of the brotherhood. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood." Go over to chapter 3 and verse 8 in this same letter, where it says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren." We could use the word siblings because this is an all-encompassing word, brethren, for all of us who are in the body of Christ. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, obviously we have to turn to a number of places since we're using a word as our text and theme for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother." Called a brother. That word called is an interesting word because it refers to naming someone. For example, you have a new baby and somebody says, "What's your baby's name?" And you say, "His name is Joseph, but we call him Joey." It's that sense in which the word called is used here, someone that is called a brother. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Here's what it says. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. Bring your attention to verse 15. Hopefully it says, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That's what it says in verse 15. In a family relationship, two boys have been born to the same woman and they are brothers. No matter how either one behaves, and you see the situation we have in this chapter that I was right to start with and didn't realize. He says, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. No matter how either one of these two boys behaves, nothing can eliminate the fact that they were born of the same woman and are thus brothers. You cannot be unborn, right? You cannot be unborn. Now let's take that into the Christian family. We are all born again of the same Savior. And thus we are all brothers in Christ. Nothing can eliminate the fact that we were born again of the same Savior. So no matter how any one of us behaves, he or she is still part of the brotherhood. In the same sense in which you cannot be unborn, you cannot be unborn again. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, where it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. The word brother is a description in some senses of our conduct toward one another. Brother implies that we care for one another as family. There is no greater bond in the world than family. It sort of goes like this. Two brothers may not get along very well with each other. They're constantly scrapping and arguing. But if someone outside of the family messes with one of them, the other one comes along and says, "You messing with my brother, you're messing with family, and you're messing with me," because there is this bond. I suspect on the battlefield, soldiers have that sense of bond. It's absolutely necessary on the battlefield. The enemy messes with anyone of your troop. They're messing with the whole troop because you have to have that brotherhood sense in which you're looking out for one another on the battlefield. We should have that same sense in the church. We may not all be best friends. We don't all necessarily like everybody the same level. I mean, personalities are different, and some of us are best friends with some, and others are best friends with others. That's just the way it's going to be. But there ought to be a sense of bond of brotherhood within the church family, so that if anybody outside messes with any one of us, we are there for them to help, to protect. Let's consider the bond that existed between David and Jonathan. They were not biological brothers. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle or his belt. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." Now, Saul is the king. Jonathan is the king's son. David is the son of a shepherd. But David becomes famous and popular. Jonathan didn't care. They were brothers. And what Jonathan was more concerned about was rejoicing in David's successes than having any sense of rivalry between them. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. David has heard that Jonathan has died in battle. And he says this: "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle, O Jonathan? Thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?" David and Jonathan were not biological brothers, but the friendship between them was so strong, it was as if they were brothers. And David said the bond between them was even stronger than the bond between a husband and a wife. And thus it should be among us in the church. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. Where it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. In other words, there's no such thing as envy within the brotherhood. Should not be anything like envy within the brotherhood. Jonathan never envied David for all of his successes. Saul obviously wanted his own son, Jonathan, to succeed him as king. Jonathan knew that wasn't going to happen, and he didn't care. He was glad for David to be elevated above him. This is what Jonathan said in 1 Samuel 23, verses 16 and 17. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be, Jonathan is saying this to David, thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next to thee. You be first, I'll be next. That's the way it should be in the brotherhood in the church. If someone is blessed, we don't complain and wish it had been me. We rejoice with them in their blessing. Rejoice with them that rejoice. If someone is made pastor or elder or whatever, we say to them, thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next to thee. You see, within the brotherhood, humility is key. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And drop down to verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Can you honestly say you prefer others before yourself? That you actually prefer that others be blessed before you. Let's say at one of our fellowship times downstairs, there is a very special dessert. It's one of your favorites, and you haven't had any for a long time. And there are only 6 pieces, and there are 45 people in front of you in line. Can you be happy for the 6 people who get those pieces of your favorite dessert? Rejoice with them that rejoice. And then there is this. It takes it a step even further in Scripture, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other. What? Better? that each esteem other better than themselves? It's one thing to accept the fact that we're all the same in Christ. Galatians 3:28, you're all one in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female. You're all one. But can you honestly say that you consider everybody else in this room better than you? Imagine if every one of us had the same attitude. Mr. Cook says Mr. Wirtz is better than him, but Mr. Wirtz says Mr. Cook is better than him. Or Miss Hom says Mrs. Morrow is better than her, and Mrs. Morrow says Miss Hom is better than her. And everyone says everyone else is better than me, and everyone else says everyone is better than me. Instead of a competition to be best, there would be a clamoring among us to make everyone else better. But then consider this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. The greatest of all usages of the term brother in Scripture is when Jesus Christ uses it to describe his kinship with us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For both he that sanctifieth," that is Jesus, "and they who are sanctified," that's us, "are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Now, he quotes that from Psalm 22, verse 22. But in the application to the church here, what he's saying is Jesus says he will declare the name of the Father among his brethren, that is, in the church, the body of Christ, and thus with the church praise the Father. In order to be our brother, consider what Jesus had to do. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." So in the spectrum of created beings, the angels are above us, we're below the angels. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, obviously was above the angels, not below, as we are. In chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 4, being so much better than the angels, that's Jesus, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Chapter 1, verse 5 continues, And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. But then, in chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, just like us. He lowered himself to become one of us. Philippians chapter 2, you know the words, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And he takes it even down a notch further, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And thus, through his humility, he secured to himself a brotherhood. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, for it became him For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Pastor is a title we use for a man who has a special role within the church, but I want to tell you this. If the pastor of a local church does not show himself to be just one of us, he'll never secure a sense of brotherhood in that local church. I might have a special role, but I'm not special. I'm just one of us. To tell you the truth, that's why I sit on the pew when the first part of the service is going on. I don't need to sit up here and have you all look at me. What good is that? When it's my turn, I come up here. When it's not my turn, I'm right where you are, because I'm just one of us. Same would be true for anyone in the local church who has any kind of a position, whether it's an elder or a deacon or trustee or a teacher or anyone who has any kind of special role. We must show ourselves to be just one of us. Jesus secured himself a brotherhood because he became one of us. If we want to enjoy a true brotherhood in the local church, every one of us must have the same sense that we are all just one of us. And we will be willing to serve and do whatever we can to make everyone else better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus took on human flesh. And in that human flesh, sacrificed himself for us, that we might become his brothers. Help us to learn from that. Help each and every one of us to prefer one another and to esteem other better than ourselves and to be willing to do whatever we can to help others be better. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.